Oh, there we are. Well, if you've got a Bible with you, turn it to John chapter, somewhere around John chapter 14. Here we are. Before we do that, though, we're going to just take the opportunity to give to the Lord and the tithes and the offerings, and we just acknowledge, obviously, that people give in so many ways and so many private ways that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, and so on and so forth, and people's generosity to each other. Every now and then we'll hear of somebody was really blessed by somebody else and some other situation. Yeah, is that Charlotte? No, I thought it might have been Charlotte. G'day, how you doing? Down the back there. Yeah, I agree. And just you know, so many people give out of the generosity of their heart, and part of our giving is our honor to the Father and our acknowledgement that He is our source. And then part of our giving is tithe, part of our giving is offerings. And they're very much according to your heart and according to your walk with the Lord. So, but the promises in Malachi are still active. You know that? People worried about the curse in Malachi. Malachi is the last book of what we call the Old Testament. Then there was 400 years of silence, which if you read Malachi and you see how God was instructing the prophet Malachi to engage with his people to bring a correction, he does it by question and answer if you read Malachi. And in Malachi, there's the promises that if they return to the Lord, and they say, how do we return? Return the tithes and offerings. And then he lists a number of promises that are attached to the nation tithing and the nation offering. And one of those promises is that he'll open the windows of heaven. One of those promises it was that he'll rebuke the devourer. Now, if you look at the issue of opening the windows of heaven, that can potentially mean a few things. Sometimes we say things like, and the heaven opened and it poured. You ever heard that saying? It's a saying. Not totally sure whether that saying relates to this. But another understanding of this is the windows of heaven. Windows are what you see through. Windows let light in. Windows let you see into a house. Windows let you see out of a house. Windows let sun in, warmth in, let air in, but they're very essential to a house. You go into a house without windows, it can be a pretty dark place. You hear what I'm saying? So we need those windows. But the purpose of a window is to let light and air in and to be able to see out. So if you take that through in terms of God opening the windows of heaven, then some have said that that's an issue of revelation. That's an issue of insight, revelation, knowledge, the wisdom of God coming to us. And so there seems to be some connection between the people returning to the Lord and the tithes and offerings as they were urged to do through the prophet by God, and somehow the windows of heaven opening. But it seems as though perhaps they didn't heed the prophet, because for 400 years there's no recorded prophecies that are included in the canon of Scripture or in what we call the Bible. And for 400 years, there doesn't seem to have been a prophet raised up in a way where they were instructed to record the message and then that message gets included in the Scriptures. I think there's a connection there. I really do. And so the blessing of that, that they were instructed was that they open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devourer. People would say, well, that's already been done in Christ. I agree, actually. The Christ is the opening for us. In Christ, we receive all things and so on and so forth. But there still seems to be a principle. And whenever the scriptures underline a principle or underscore a principle, it really is worth looking at and studying it, because now that we're in a new covenant setting, I don't personally feel like I need to be frightened of a curse. What I do want to, though, is connect with a blessing. I want to connect with an avenue of revelation and understanding. And what I found is this: the more generous my heart becomes and a whole range of things, not just financial giving, but on a whole range of things, somehow your life just gets filled with more light. People who close off the heart, close off the generosity, close off their ability to honor and praise and be appreciative to another person, whatever that dimension of generosity is, the life seems to get smaller and tighter and more restricted. But I tell you what, when we come into the generosity of God and His Spirit's working within us, things light up. Things get bigger. Things get more open. Revelation flows, light flows, understanding flows, wisdom flows. Beautiful thing. So I believe there's a strong connection there. So God bless you as you give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your very nature that you have revealed to us in Christ. And now we've been receiving by revelation of your word and by presence of Holy Spirit into our lives. Thank you that you've infused yourself into us. We're new creations. We're your righteousness. And Lord, we express that righteousness. So today, Lord, as we give, I pray there would just be such an opening in people's lives. Such a fresh flow of revelation and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to John chapter 14, verse 15. Lovely to see you all, it really is. It's great, fantastic being together. Fantastic being together on the first gathering and first service. I don't use the word service that much, really, I guess. A hangover from my dislike of anything religious. But the word service is still a good word. Just, you know. So in the first gathering, it was just wonderful to be together and there was a bit of prophetic flow and slightly different to the second meeting. I don't ever expect both meetings to be the same. We're not going to try and make them happen the same. Hear what I'm saying? The flow of the worship may be similar and all, but there'll be things come out prophetically in the first one that may not come out in the second one and vice versa. Simply because we're not trying to coerce the Holy Spirit into saying something. We're trying to flow with Him. You hear what I'm saying? And so there might be words of knowledge in the first meeting that there's not in the second and vice versa because we're endeavoring to walk with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. You hear what I'm saying? So if you're curious about what happened in the first meeting, go back and watch the live stream. If you're curious about anything that might have come out in the message in the first meeting, watch the live stream. And if you're watching from the first meeting, this live stream, you might find something different in this message that you didn't hear in the first. That's just how it's going to be. And so that's the way it is. So we are experimenting, trialing with two meetings, two services. No guarantee that we'll continue them beyond the 4 weeks that we've specified, but starting from last week. We are going to be reassessing, we're going to be re-examining, we're going to be trialing, okay? If God just says, keep doing it, we will be doing it. We will endeavor to do it. We'll do it with the best communication we can and all that. But we are trialing, okay? Everybody say trial. Everybody say experimenting. Good. We're on a good learning curve. So John chapter 14, verse 15. Last week we started to speak into who Holy Spirit is, speak into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speak into the coming of Holy Spirit, who is Holy Spirit, how we relate to Holy Spirit, the fact that Jesus said when you receive Holy Spirit or when you receive the Holy Spirit or the promise of the Father, you shall receive power. And, of course, we saw in that first encounter, that first outpouring and on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it was the feasts, you see, are very, very important. We really do. It is really good to study the feasts of the Lord. They're not just the feasts of Israel, they're the feasts of the Lord. And they were meant to be ongoing, not in the sense that they were to be celebrated to somehow gain favor with God or gain a sense of righteousness, but they were to be celebrated because they pointed to something greater. They pointed to a fulfillment, and Israel was in a rehearsal. That's what one of the words means. It's a rehearsal. It's an appointment. And so the feasts were appointments. When they traveled to Jerusalem, 3 times a year to have these feasts, they were considered appointments. They were considered rehearsals. And so now Jesus has come. He's fulfilled beautifully and perfectly and fully that first set of feasts. And of course, then the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, fulfilling the Feast of Pentecost, that which is just a fancy word for 50. And then, of course, we come into the Feast of Trumpets and all that they represent. And some believe we're in that time now. I believe we are personally, because we're in a great time of return. Israel is returning to the nation. God is setting them free, fulfilling prophecy in the Old Testament, setting them free from their prisons or from their graves and from the nations they were sent to. And we are watching prophecy that was given by a prophet way before Christ. We are watching that promise being fulfilled now. Now, the purpose of God gathering Israel back, or the Jews back into Israel, is to fulfill a long-standing promise. That's why Jesus said, don't think I've come to do away with the law and the prophets. And people get hung up on that, and they think, well, that means the law as a way of approaching God is still in place. No, it's not. But the prophets, the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament that are not yet fulfilled will be fulfilled. Jesus said, it is not one jot, not one tittle, not one tiny little letter that puts a slant on one letter and another, not the tiniest part of the Jewish alphabet, as it were, the Hebrew alphabet, will pass away until all is fulfilled. Every prophecy that God gave Israel, that he spoke concerning the future days, where he would gather them again, and then they would have one king, is being fulfilled right before our eyes right now. Do you know that there's a significant move of the Spirit in Israel right now? In 1960-something, there were only a handful of Jews that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now there's thousands upon thousands of them, and there's more just about every day. There's a move happening in Israel right now. It's a very, very powerful thing. So prophecy will be fulfilled. Amen? And so people say, well, any prophecy that was given to Israel, or natural Israel, that wasn't fulfilled in Israel, now it's for the church. I do not believe that. The prophecy that was given to Israel, that he would set them free from their prisons, from the nations that were scattered to, is a promise for natural Israel to bring them back to that natural land, whereby then a great move of the Spirit would be happening, and they will have a great awakening to Jesus being the Messiah, Yeshua being the Messiah, and they will have one king. I would like to go into that a lot further, but I don't have time. I'm already chewing up time I meant to be spending on this message. So there we are. This is Day of Pentecost fulfilled. And we are living in the fulfillment or the activation of that Day of Pentecost, where Holy Spirit came upon the church, comes upon every believer who's asking and open and hungry, and moves them into a place of trying to work the Word to being the Word getting worked in us, and we become a living expression of the Word, the righteousness of God in us being expressed through us. Holy Spirit, it would be really good for us to kindle our fellowship with Holy Spirit. In fact, these days it's absolutely vital that we kindle and develop our friendship and relationship in terms of a working, communicating, loving, dependent relationship on Holy Spirit. Absolutely vital. So in John chapter 14 verse 15, it says this: if you love me, keep my commandments. Passion Translation says, loving me is motivation for keeping my commands. Something like that. So we get a beautiful thing happening. When you really love somebody, you just really like doing things for them, right? Love's a fantastic motivator. Best motivator of all. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, not a minion, not a little buddy down here, not a little round thing with funny little goggles and little blue overalls, not something that we see on Despicable Me. Somebody said I look like the guy on Despicable Me, and I thought it was funny. I laughed with him, and he laughed. He was a young guy, and I think he felt a bit bad about saying it, but I thought it was funny. I actually liked that character. And so, hope that doesn't stick. Too late. Okay. Too late. Okay. And so he's going to give us another helper. So, Paracletos, helper, another savior, Redeemer, he's going to do everything that is to do with the kingdom and to do with the truth of the kingdom and the beauty of the inheritance and the revelation of the inheritance. He's going to do that in us because he shed his blood as Jesus. Jesus went to the cross. The Holy Spirit enabled him to do it. It went out, preached the gospel to the captivity, took them captive into glory with him. They stayed overnight in Jerusalem a few days apparently. And then he ascended on that day when they saw him go. An angel said, why are you looking into heaven? This same Jesus is going to return in like manner. And so then some doubted. You always get a few, you know. And then the whole church, the whole group goes to Jerusalem, waits in the upper room. Holy Spirit comes on day of Pentecost. Tongues of fire, sound of great washing wind, drunkenness in the spirit, out on the street, suddenly go from intimidation to boldness and courage. 3,000 people are added to the church that day. Phenomenal. And so, he's another helper. He's not a minion. He communicates into us everything that is for us and for the kingdom and what the kingdom is about, what his glory is and what his revelation is and transforming, sanctifying work. He communicates that into us. He's another helper. He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and we be with you. I don't know how much of the church yet has grasped the majesty, the beauty, the wonder of what it means to have God present with us. God the Holy Spirit present with us and in us. Because too often Holy Spirit is sidelined. Far too often Holy Spirit is sidelined. I hear ministers say, oh, I'm not too sure about that Holy Spirit stuff. You not sure about Holy Spirit stuff? Are you kidding me? What stuff do you want? I want Holy Spirit stuff. I want this Holy Spirit stuff in me. I want Holy Spirit stuff around me. And I want Holy Spirit stuff happening out of me. Let's move on. John 15:26. I'm just picking up on a few of the passages that are recorded, that are the recordings of what Jesus taught about Holy Spirit. Verse 26 of John chapter 15, New King James Version. But when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So here's this amazing situation. And I'm going to pick it up and just read it in the Passion Translation, John chapter 15, verse 26. And I will send you the divine encourager from the very presence of my Father. He will come to you. The Spirit of truth emanating from the Father. And he will speak to you about me. And you will tell everyone the truth about me. For you have walked with me from the start. I want to say this. Everything that you know, everything that you have revelation of about Jesus and who he is, what he's done, all of those things has come by the Holy Spirit. The world cannot receive him. The world system can't receive him because it doesn't know him. But you know him. And he dwells with you. Right from before you got saved, Holy Spirit was working in our lives. right before I got saved, Holy Spirit was working in my life. Before you got saved, Holy Spirit was working in your life. Holy Spirit revealed you to yourself. He revealed Jesus to you. He revealed the Father to you. Whatever He revealed to you to help you get across the line and realizing that you needed a Savior and opened your life to Him and received Him into your life, Holy Spirit was engaged in all of that. And then, of course, Holy Spirit becomes one with your spirit when you're born again. And your spirit man, your inner man, is regenerated and reconciled to the Father. You become one spirit with Him. And then Holy Spirit comes upon you when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you become marinated in Him and you become possessed by Him. A lot of people don't like that word, possessed. Some people are frightened about the idea of being maybe possessed by a demonic thing. You don't have to be frightened of being possessed by a demonic thing. If you are in Christ, you're not possessed by a demon. You can't be. You can be set free of those things and then come to Christ, but there can be some demonization still, there can be some bondage still, there can be some atmosphere still, but there can be some torment still that maybe hasn't been dealt with, and it can be, but the thing is you cannot be possessed. You hear me? That was an unfortunate translation in the King James. Now we understand it's more the word demonized, not possessed, in terms of a believer. And so, once we receive Holy Spirit and we are marinated and we receive Him and we're filled with Him, and then there's tongues and there's gifts and there's power and there's overcoming and there's revelation coming, I tell you, that's God's purpose. Is for you and I to be filled with the fullness of His Spirit. I want to take you into John chapter 16, verse 13. I'm going to read it straight from Passion Translation, but I do have it here in the New King James. To walk with Holy Spirit is the most phenomenal privilege of all. You say, but hang on, you're talking all about the Holy Spirit, not about Jesus. Look, do you think Jesus is jealous? He's not. We're saved by the blood of Christ. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus asked the Father, and they sent Holy Spirit to us to be like Jesus to us, to walk with us, to be present with us, to fill us, to be in us. We've got to talk about Him without nervousness. Otherwise, we're not actually worshiping the Trinity. So John chapter 16, verse 13, I will get to it eventually. Jesus has been talking with the disciples and the apostles and just talking with them. A whole lot of stuff's been happening. He's given you some warnings. There's been some things happening. Been speaking about His crucifixion and so on and so forth and about needing to go away, and it's His advantage if He goes away and so on. But then we get down to verse 12. There is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on His own, but only what He hears from the Father. Who else said that? Jesus said that. I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only give the message that I receive from the Father. I don't speak on my own authority. I speak on His authority. That's what Jesus said. Now we have Holy Spirit doing exactly the same thing. Only what the Father's revealing. Only what Jesus is revealing. He says, and He will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. That's a good thing. It really is. He will glorify Me on the earth. For He will receive from Me what is Mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to Me. This is Jesus speaking. That's why I say that the divine encourager will receive what is Mine and reveal it to you. Soon you won't see Me any longer, but then after a little while you will see Me in a new way. Jesus obviously speaking of His crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and then so on and so forth. So He's speaking of that, obviously. But He's saying this. He said, look, I've received everything from the Father. Everything the Father has, he's given to me. I've received everything from the Father, and Holy Spirit is going to take what is mine and give it to you. That is a phenomenally, an amazingly powerful truth, an amazingly powerful understanding, and an incredible appreciation that as we walk with Holy Spirit, as we acknowledge Him, as we connect with Him, as we fellowship with Him and worshiping the Father, as we fellowship with Holy Spirit and studying the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word, as we're fellowshiping with the Holy Spirit and being together and talking about the Lord and talking about His goodness, His power, His grace, all of those things when we get together in fellowship, and when we speak of those things, you know that old saying, speak of the devil. Ever heard that saying? Speak of the devil and something negative seems to happen. You know that saying, don't you? Well, I want to tell you, speak of the Lord. Speak of the Word. Speak of the Holy Spirit. Speak of the goodness of God. Share with one another the awesome things of God. Share the testimonies of His power. Share the testimonies of His goodness. Share the testimonies of miracles. You want to witness to people in a cafe? Just go to the cafe, sit with another believer, and just start talking about miracles. Start talking about testimonies of healing, testimonies of deliverance. Somebody there is going to know that there's a spirit realm. Somebody there is going to start listening to you, and they're going to start tuning into your conversation. Suddenly their conversation is boring because all they've been talking about is COVID-19, but now they're hearing somebody talking about the power of God, talking about miracles, talking about deliverance, talking about miracles of provision. They're going to hear that testimony, and you will see them leaning toward you. And when you start talking miracles in a cafe, the atmosphere will change. Start talking miracles in your cell group atmosphere will change. You start talking the testimony of the power of God and your one-on-one fellowship with somebody or whatever it is, the atmosphere is going to change. I was with somebody, we were in a restaurant, I think it might have been Ben Hughes or Andy Cannon, and I started to talk about an experience, an encounter in Mozambique, and I started to talk about it. As soon as I started to talk about it, the atmosphere changed. And Andy, I thought it was Andy or Ben, said, whoa, did you feel that? The atmosphere changed. You start talking about the power and the glory of God, because Holy Ghost is really attracted to that. I'm talking about fellowshipping with Him. I'm talking about acknowledging His presence. I'm talking about leaning into Him. I want to tell you, it's exciting when you talk miracles in cafes. I've been a few times. I think it was is Dougal here? Not here for you. Dougal and I were somewhere and we were talking about, yes, time's up, talking about somewhere, and we were in McDonald's having a little bit of breakfast together. Not a healthy breakfast, but a breakfast all the same. We're both still alive. It was a testimony about something. I can't remember what it was now, which testimony it was, but we started talking about the power of God, the goodness of God, a testimony, a glory of God. And I noticed somebody was waiting for their order to be filled, and I saw them, they had the back to the back of the seating we were sitting, and I saw them turning around like this. I could tell they were listening. That was just the last one. That was just before lockdown. And they were turning around and they were listening and they stayed there. They stayed there for quite some time. I've been in cafes and I've seen people just go quiet and I've seen them, I can tell they're trying to listen. You know when people are trying to listen. It's like the ear is, it's almost like you can see the ear growing. Anybody ever had that experience? I tell you, it's powerful. So I'm talking about fellowshipping with Holy Spirit. I'm talking about His presence. I'm talking about leaning into His presence. You start talking about horrible, gossipy, negative, fear-filled stuff, I want to tell you, you'll just feel the atmosphere go cold. You want to shift the atmosphere? Change what you're talking about. I'm serious. Change what we're talking about. So Holy Spirit takes what is Jesus, what is His, what He, Jesus said, He takes what is mine, which is all things. All understanding, all wisdom, all revelation, all the goodness of the inheritance, all. And then he said, and he gives it to you. Wow. That's why when you're in a moment where there's a sense of his presence and you've been pondering the passages, pondering the scriptures on something, revelation's been, you know, you've been maybe trying to memorize something, just meditating on a passage, then you get into a atmosphere where there's a sense of the presence of God, and then suddenly they just go ping, they just start popping, ping, ping. Suddenly it just opens up to you. Why is that? Because you're in an atmosphere where Holy Spirit is quite tangible, quite manifest, and he takes what is Jesus and gives it to you. And you had the written word up till then, but now you've got the quickened word. You've got the revealed word. You've got the rhema. You've got the alive word. The word that's in you that changes you, that morphs you, that is the seed of faith. That is the seed of miracles. You've got that word in you now. Before you had black and white or red print on white paper memorized, but now it's gone. It's been transformed by the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit has actually given you something that is Jesus, and it's come alive in you. That's why your revelation is where your power is. When you get revelation of the Word of God, revelation of the heart of God through the Scriptures by the Holy Spirit, you have power. You're not subject to somebody's opinion or argument or somebody who might knock on the door and say they're from some organization and they're trying to sell you a magazine that talks about the way they understand prophecy. And you know some of the organizations that do that. You're not able to be duped or conned because you have something that's been born into you by Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit has taken what is Jesus and given it to you. Man, that is powerful. That is really, really powerful. And then when you do that, every time you read the word, that is just alive to you. And then other things just get added to that and added to that and added to that. That's why we want to walk with Holy Spirit. I wish I had time to talk a lot more about him and just talk about building relationship with him. But I tell you, and we may do that it won't be next. Mark's on next week. Thank you so much, Mark, for being available to minister both meetings next week. So make sure you come and just get blessed by them. So, Father, I just want to thank you for your beautiful people. I want to thank you for sending us yourself. That we would not be limited to all trying to relate to one physical manifestation of God, which is what those first disciples had the great privilege of doing. But Lord, that would have been such a limiting factor if we're all, millions of us now on the earth, trying to relate to one physical manifestation of who you are. We now have this phenomenal advantage of being cleansed, made holy, fit for your presence, and fit to be filled by you. And each one of us now can actually be filled with you and walk with you and be helped by you. And Lord, have all that is Jesus revealed and given to us, individually and corporately. Lord, your plan has put your family at such a huge advantage. Because all of your family now has the possibility to be continually filled with your goodness, your power, your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. You are so wonderful. Let's all stand. Could we stand? Just as a very tender moment right now. It's like he's just said, well, you've been talking about me. He's so beautiful. All that the Father is, all that the Son is presenced with us in Holy Spirit. You are a temple of Holy Spirit. You are a dwelling place of Holy Spirit. When it comes time with this tent we live in is no longer useful to us. Your Spirit, Holy Spirit, joined together, will be alive and well and forever in the presence of the Lord. Your consciousness of Him and yourself will not change. He is eternal life. He's the very life of God Himself. So how about we welcome Him? How about we express our appreciation to Him and ask Him to help us always be mindful of Him? Because He can be grieved. He can be grieved. He can be lied to. He can be quenched. But we're a people, we don't want to do that, right? So can you pray with me? Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Father, Spirit of the Son, fill my life. Marinate me in your presence and power. Give to me everything that belongs to Jesus. All those things that I'm to receive from Jesus. I open my heart to you and I allow you to reveal them to me. Line upon line. Maybe it's here a little and there a little. But you're revealing everything that I need to grow in and move in and understand. Holy Spirit, I want to be conscious of you all of the days of my life. I want to carry you. I want to be occupied by you. I want to be led by you. I want to be empowered by you. I want to demonstrate you. And I want to reflect your nature, your fruit in my life. Goodness, peace, mercy, joy, patience, long suffering. All of those fruit and more that are yours. Let them be in me. Let your power flow through me. Let the rivers of living water flow out of my innermost being. Lord, I'm yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us drink of your river, Lord. Your beautiful river that flows from your throne. Holy Spirit. Flood us and fill us. Glorify yourself in us and through us. Thank you, Father. We bless your beautiful name. We bless your beautiful name. We magnify you. Hallelujah. I'm still not at liberty to get you to hold hands, apparently. Probably a good habit to let drop anyway. But what if you put your hands on the shoulder of the person next to you? So you're just putting your hands on their clothing. At least there's fabric between you and them. There's shoulder sanitizer as you leave, you know. such a beautiful thing that Holy Spirit would be now able to occupy each one of us individually and fill us. We know him and walk with him. But you know, it's also for us corporately. He's actually building us together as living stones, forming a spiritual temple out of living stones that he wants to fill with his glory. It's a beautiful thing. So Father, right now, I thank you for your beautiful people. And I thank you that, Lord, as living stones, we're being assembled together. Thank you that you're fashioning us to fit. Lord, we recognize that there are many stones around the nation that have tumbled out of the wall for whatever reason. But Lord, I just thank you that you're moving by your Spirit and that you're causing many to come into a place of healing, place of release, a place of releasing of pain and hurt and bitterness and resentment and suspicion and all of those things which have caused stones to be disconnected from the house. So I pray right through our nation, there would be a rebuilding, picking up those stones which are out of place, and Lord, them being placed gently and beautifully back, along with other stones that are living and alive in you. Lord, that you're not going to place those stones into dead places. You're going to place those stones into living places. Father, I pray right now, could you pray after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, right across our nation, let the stones, the living stones that have been tumbled down, let them be picked up. Let them be healed. Let them be set back into a place where they can be part of your great temple. Knitted together, bonded together with other living stones to glorify you and to glorify your presence. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you all.